This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates and an intuitive drag-and-drop website builder, you can get your business online today. No coding needed. Start now at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
More devastation in California. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, September 21st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
After 2 weeks of intense wildfires, a number of homes destroyed in Northern California is approaching 1,600. Another 162 were lost this weekend.
The U.S. has announced it'll increase the number of migrants it allows each year, but hear the warning from critics.
It's the eve of a visit from the U.S. from Pope Francis, who's finishing a trip to Cuba today. He spent time this past weekend with the Castro brothers.
And how Hillary Clinton's campaign problem may not be just with the left.
There's, you know, no question she's taken a hit overall, you know, with all demographic groups, and no question that she has a problem with progressives. But if you look at what's been going on more recently, as those numbers continue to drop, the real declines more recently are with moderates.
Heidi Prisbella at USA Today takes us behind the scenes of the Clinton campaign numbers. She's here in about 2 minutes. California fire officials say more than 150 additional homes have been destroyed by a wildfire north of San Francisco. Cal Fire says 1,050 homes burned in Lake County, many of them in the town of hard-hit Middletown, making it the third worst wildfire in the state's history. The total number of homes now destroyed in two wildfires burning in that region in the past 2 weeks is now nearly 1,600. Jeff Stone is chief of Central Calaveras Fire and Rescue.
It's just crushing. And the amazing thing is, you know, even my volunteers, I mean, even once they learned they'd lost their homes, you know, the firefight wasn't over. And they didn't stop.
Meanwhile, the latest blaze was burning about 2 miles north of the community of Jamesburg and quickly grew to 1,200 acres after starting Saturday afternoon. Ariana Gilbo was among those thanking firefighters for their efforts.
I can't thank them enough for the service. They saved my mom's home, lots of my neighborhood homes.
Amid the destruction, however, there are tales of kindness emerging. The Sacramento Bee says a mother and daughter from Bodega Bay took it upon themselves to help save 18 camels stranded at Sacred Camel Gardens near Middletown by setting up an online donation site that has collected $15,000 to feed the animals. During the fire, a herdsman and two others guided the camels from one safe area to another as flames devoured the camels' living area. The U.S. is opening its doors for more refugees from around the world. In an effort to help Europe cope with a migration crisis, Secretary of State John Kerry says the U.S. will go from 70,000 to 100,000 refugees allowed per year eventually. The increase would include at least 10,000 Syrian refugees that the White House has proposed admitting to the U.S. next year. Beyond that, however, details were scarce. Since 2011, the U.S. has taken in about 1,600 Syrians. Mr. Kerry spoke in Berlin, Germany yesterday.
Last year, I think we were at 70,000. We are now going to go up to 85,000 with at least, and I underscore the at least, it is not a ceiling, it's a floor of 10,000 over the next year from Syria specifically.
Critics have raised concerns about Islamic State or other militants being able to sneak past background checks to infiltrate the U.S. posing as refugees. The U.S., by the way, announces refugee caps at the end of each fiscal year, which includes regional limits. Most of the 70,000 refugees entering the U.S. this year were from Myanmar, Iraq, and Somalia. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. During her first Sunday News TV appearance in 5 years yesterday, one of the subjects Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton addressed was potential rivals. She says her campaign is not preparing for Vice President Joe Biden to enter the White House sweepstakes, despite his unwillingness to commit either way at this point. You may have heard this before. Hillary Clinton's poll ratings are free-falling as Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders rides an anti-establishment wave of support. But Heidi Prisbella at USA Today says it's a great story that's not quite right. She joins us now on the T-Mobile hotline. Heidi, what have you found?
If you look at the numbers behind the top line numbers, that is the story that is being told right now. There's, you know, no question she's taken a hit overall, you know, with all demographic groups, and no question that she has a problem with progressives. But if you look at what's been going on more recently as those numbers continue to drop, the real declines more recently are with moderate, self-described moderate and conservative Democrats. What does this point to? Well, two things. One is Bernie kind of leveling off a little bit nationally. There's a great story going on right now about Bernie's surge, but it's mostly just Iowa and New Hampshire. When you look at the national numbers, you get a different picture. But then the second part of it is what is going on with Clinton's numbers? Well, a lot of these people, these self-described moderates and conservatives, a lot of them are white women. That is just the demographic group that she absolutely cannot afford to lose. At the same time, we are so early in this process that, you know, when you look at these numbers, like what's going on with these people, why are they moving now? This is, you know, the emails have been out there for a long time. This narrative has been out there for a long time. Well, some of it could be, and of course it's just, you know, political talking heads talking, but some of it could be, you know, just a big worry at this point about the damage that has been done, worries about electability. Can she get elected, you know, depending on who the Republican candidate is? And secondly, can she get things done? Does this remind people just of the kind of polarization that had gone along with the Clintons in the past? You know, she really enjoyed kind of an unusual moment with Republican voters when she was Secretary of State. Her numbers were, you know, favorability numbers were extremely high. And so some of this is also just coming down off of that artificial high that she enjoyed when she was Secretary of State.
We're speaking with Heidi Prisbella, senior political reporter at USA Today. She's covering the 2016 campaigns. Has her campaign had any kind of official reaction as of late to these falling numbers, especially as you mentioned that the one demographic, the white women?
No official reaction other than kind of steady hand. We are confident that in our strategy, you know, and the numbers that they're looking at are really, you hear them talk more and more about moving beyond Iowa and New Hampshire. And, you know, while you certainly can't dismiss those very important early barometer states, they do also have a point that once you get beyond Iowa and New Hampshire, which are very, you know, kind of largely older, whiter states, and you move to somewhere, for example, like South Carolina, where the next, you know, big primary race will be. She has quite a commanding lead, and so those are the numbers that they're looking at. And what they're also looking at in terms of the national numbers are that when you take Joe Biden out, and when you go, this kind of goes to the whole moderate theme, because those moderates, where are they going? They're going to a candidate who hasn't even declared and has twice said he doesn't know if he can get his heart into this and his head around it. And those are where he is where those numbers are going. So we're not seeing, you know, kind of a strong movement towards Bernie as I think just a superficial top line read of the polling would suggest. Because when you take Joe Biden, again, not a declared candidate, out of the equation, she has a 30-point national lead over Bernie Sanders. So that tells you that there's a very different story going on in some of these other states outside of Iowa and New Hampshire.
All right, thanks, Heidi. Heidi Prisbella at USA Today. By the way, Mrs. Clinton is scheduled to testify before the Select Committee on Benghazi next month on Capitol Hill. We'll see if that has an impact on her poll numbers. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally, and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258. 4258 or edible.com. Thanks for being with us. Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson says Muslims are unfit to be president of the United States, arguing their faith was inconsistent with American principles.
I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that.
He made the remarks yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press. The remarks by Dr. Carson, a retired neurosurgeon, followed a controversy that erupted when frontrunner Donald Trump declined last week to challenge anti-Muslim comments made by a supporter. Dr. Carson, a Christian who says he got the idea for his tax proposals from the Bible, said he thought a U.S. president's faith should be, quote, consistent with the Constitution.
If it fits within the realm of America and consistent with the Constitution, no problem.
So do you believe that Islam is consistent with the Constitution?
No, I don't. I do not.
Dr. Carson has been rising in the polls, although he gave up some ground in a CNN poll released yesterday, slipping to third place from second with 14% support behind Donald Trump's 24% and Carly Fiorina in second place with 15%. 21 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to Americans, three Saudis and a Briton are in Oman after being released from months of detention by Yemeni rebels as they join new talks with the UN peace envoy. The White House confirmed that two citizens were met by U.S. consular staff in Oman's capital. New Orleans-based Transoceanic Development identified one of the pair as an employee who had been distributing relief supplies. Scrambling to address a growing Syrian refugee crisis, Secretary of State John Kerry says the U.S. will significantly increase the number of worldwide refugees it takes in over the next 2 years.
In the next fiscal year, we'll target 100,000. And if it's possible to do more, we'll do.
Many, though not all, of the additional refugees will be Syrian. Others will come from strife-torn areas of Africa. A wildfire north of San Francisco that destroyed 1,050 homes so far this month is the fourth worst wildfire in the state's history based on total structures burned. Jeff Stone, Central Calaveras Fire and Rescue Chief, says crews are doing the best they can.
We made a difference. You know, while we lost a lot of homes, we saved a lot of them, too.
A 1991 fire in the Oakland Hills ranks as California's deadliest fire. The long-awaited extradition hearing for internet entrepreneur Kim.com has begun in New Zealand. The U.S. is seeking to extradite .com and three of his colleagues for alleged copyright infringement, racketeering, and money laundering. In 2012, authorities raided German-born .com's Auckland home and shut down his site Mega Upload, which authorities say cost film studios and record companies more than $500 million. And the rule of thumb for housing affordability is to keep rent payments to below one-third of income. But a growing number of households are going far beyond that measure. According to a new report from Harvard, more than one out of four renter households, or 11.2 million, are spending a whopping 50% of their income on paying the landlord, a level that severely hampers their ability to, of course, pay for other things.
Wow, 50%. Thank you, gents. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Banks around the country are issuing new credit and debit cards with an embedded microchip in an ongoing effort to protect their customers and reduce fraud. The added layer of security will store account information more securely than the traditional magnetic stripe, making it extremely difficult for thieves to counterfeit or copy. But how secure is it? Here's Doug Johnson, Senior VP of Payments and Cybersecurity Policy at the American Bankers Association. Doug, how's it work?
What you'll see when you get the card is that it has a small metallic square on the front of the chip, or the front of the payment card, which is where the chip is. And what that does is it makes the card much more difficult to counterfeit or to copy. You know, we've all been familiar with all the various retail breaches like Target and Home Depot and others over time, and we recognize that those data breaches occur. And so what we're trying to do is make it more difficult once large bulk data in terms of credit cards is compromised, make it harder to counterfeit or copy those cards. So that's the whole point, Gordon, behind this deployment.
All right, so these things have a what we call a single-use code, which means exactly what if we go into a retailer and pay for something with this chip credit card?
What it means is the card will, first of all, be dual-use. It'll have a magnetic stripe on it, as well as the chip. And so say that you're going into a retailer for the first time, that retailer has a machine, a point-of-sale device that can read that chip. So you'll probably try to swipe the mag stripe, and when you do that, on the signature pad area, what you'll see is an instruction that says, this card has a chip on it. You need to essentially insert or dip the chip and the card into the slot, which is below the signature area.
Okay.
And once you do that, then you have the point-of-sale device is reading that chip. And that's when, as you suggested, the one-time code is created to authorize that transaction.
Okay.
And so that code is what's sent essentially through the network as opposed to the card number itself.
Got it. We're speaking with Doug Johnson, Senior Vice President of Payments and Cybersecurity at the American Bankers Association. We're talking about these new chip credit cards. So if there's a crook, for example, who has placed some sort of scanning machine or some sort of credit card reader on the point-of-sale device, that credit card, what, cannot be used effectively again? Or what exactly is the protection?
The protection is when the retailer has simultaneously also changed out their point-of-sale device to read the chip. Because then what will happen is if a criminal tries to, say they create a counterfeit card, they can't replicate the chip, but they can certainly replicate the number.
Oh, okay.
The card number.
Right, right.
And so what they could do is go and use that magstripe in a store that had a point-of-sale device in it that couldn't read the chip and wouldn't know that a chip is supposed to be on that particular card. So that's really the difference, and that's the extra protection.
Thanks, Doug. Doug Johnson, Senior Vice President of Payments and Cybersecurity Policy at the American Bankers Association. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for joining us on this Monday, September 21st. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Total homes destroyed by California wildfires is now near 1,600. Pope Francis wraps up a trip to Cuba today, visits Washington tomorrow. Apple says it's removing malicious iPhone and iPad malware found in several apps. First Dez Bryant, now the Dallas Cowboys have lost Tony Romo with a broken collarbone. Jets and Colts in Monday Night Football on its 45th anniversary this evening. Also on TV tonight, the premiere of Minority Report on Fox and Blindspot on NBC. Would you believe that 7 years after the spectacular collapse of Lehman Brothers, the company is still trading stocks? You'll recall that Lehman's fall in September of 2008 crashed the market and helped trigger the financial crisis and Great Recession. It's mostly been selling off what was once a staggering $639 billion in assets and trying to liquidate its massive web of investments. Yet Jen Vietchner at Fortune Magazine says someone was still buying stocks as recently as last winter. Jen, what's going on?
After all these years, Lehman Brothers is actually still disclosing a stock portfolio, and they seem to be actively trading it and adding new names because, I mean, I think most people would think that 7 years into a bankruptcy, you would be liquidating, which ultimately is what they're trying to do. You know, they're just trying to unwind all of their huge amounts of investments and ultimately sell them off. And then they will cease to exist. But nobody exactly knows how long that will take and when it will be finished.
No kidding. All right, so Lehman Brothers never fully disappeared, I guess?
No, in fact, they still have an office on the 40th floor of our building. It's the Time and Life building in Midtown Manhattan. And they are only down to one floor, as they used to have many floors and many buildings. They have about 200 employees there, and they're all, you know, working on various litigation and paying their creditors, figuring out claims, and ultimately trying to get rid of all these assets. But they are also trying to make money in the meantime, okay, with which they can pay back their creditors. So, you know, someone familiar with that process told me that, you know, they are allowed to use the assets they have to try to maximize value and make some money to pay back their debts.
Goodness. All right. So they still have and manage people's money?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's people's money. I mean, they are still distributing client assets, but I think mostly, I mean, Lehman, you know, did a huge amount of trading, and they were, you know, provided a lot of these derivatives and options and, you know, these obscure market instruments. And, you know, so many of those assets were the bank's assets, you know, whether they made loans with them or, you know, some of that was client money. But I don't think they're taking new money from clients. You know, I don't think you can invest with Lehman,
okay,
but they are using the assets they have, you know, to make a little bit of money on their own that they can use to pay back their creditors.
No kidding. Wow. We're speaking with Jen Vietchner, reporter at Fortune Magazine. She's got a piece entitled, "Here Are the Crazy Stocks Lehman Brothers Is Still Trading." All right. So what are they trading, or what do they own? What are they still trying to get rid of?
So right now they actually only own two stocks. In the portfolio, as of the last disclosure, had about $1.2 million in assets. So fairly small if you look at, you know, some major mutual funds and hedge funds. But those stocks were Bazaar Voice, which is a marketing firm, content marketing firm based in Texas, and Aspen Aerogels, which makes some insulation. It's actually not based in Aspen, Colorado. It looks like it's based in Massachusetts.
Oh.
But their portfolio was quite a lot bigger in the first quarter of this year when they had about $38 million, and they had two additional stocks, including Alcoa and Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings. So they since sold those, but... yeah, and even before that, actually, the last quarter of 2014, they owned Berkshire Hathaway, which, you know, is Warren Buffett's company, General Electric, some of the bigger names that you might be more familiar with.
Wow. All right. So why is it taking so long, I guess, to sell off the assets? Or is it actually a process of selling it and still trying to make enough money to pay what they owe?
What I've been told is that they've gone, you know, the stuff that was easy to get rid of and sell off is pretty much gone. But they do have more than $15 billion in assets left, tied up in very complex instruments, often litigation, and it's just extremely complex to unwind everything and untangle that mess.
Thanks, Jen. Jen Vietchner at Fortune Magazine. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
While most video surveillance solutions capture and store hours of nothing, CUDA Eye by Barracuda Networks only captures video when something happens. Once captured on camera, the video evidence is immediately encrypted and sent to the cloud for safe storage and easy retrieval from any web browser or mobile device. With CUDA Eye, there's no network configuration or software to install. Just plug one or more cameras into your network to better protect your business. Don't get caught with nothing. Do something about it. Check out CUDAEye.com. That's CUDAEye.com.
Don't forget to check us out on social media, by the way. You can friend us on Facebook. Also, look us up on Twitter. We use the handle @ThisMorningShow. You can find me there as well, @GordonDeal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, on the list of things that high school students are looking for in a prospective college, access to fitness equipment generally isn't too high on the list. Come sophomore year, though, after the freshman 15 sets in, you might be glad that you chose one of America's fittest colleges, as chosen by the Active Times. Coming in at number 3, Ohio State University. The school's nearly 65,000 students have 1,900 acres of campus to roam, and more than 90 of those acres dedicated to outdoor fitness areas. Number 2, Claremont McKenna College in California. School is on the smaller side, but students have a wide range of exercise and meal options. And number 1, Virginia Tech. The school shot from number 13 last year all the way to number 1 this year after focusing on organic and healthy dining options.
Really?
Now, those are just options, though. See, that's the thing. When you're in college, you have lots of options. There are
right.
lots of different ways you can go. Lots of different ways you can spend your free time.
Yes.
Lots of different things you can do in the dining hall. But
right.
if they're just options, then that still can be a problem, couldn't it?
My freshman year largely was marked by cheese fries from the cafeteria and 11 p.m. pizza orderings.
I mean,
ridiculous.
Again, you can have all the healthy options in the world you want, but pizza's always going to be there. You know, dollar slice pizza is always going to be there for you.
So the fittest colleges in America is just based on really facilities.
Right. It's based on available facilities.
Yeah,
it's there for you if you choose to use them.
I see. Good.
And Gordon, a cool story out of Northern New Jersey. Former third grade classmates have married nearly 20 years later after their class picture was posted on Facebook. Today.com says that Christy Young and Ed Hems hadn't seen each other since Christy moved to a neighborhood town or a neighboring town in fourth grade, while Ed had a huge crush on Christy while sitting across the room from each other in Miss McAllister's class, who, by the way, sounds like every third grade teacher anyone's ever had, Miss McAllister. I think everyone had Miss McAllister one time or another. After sitting across the room from each other, she barely knew he existed. A mutual friend brought them together when she uploaded their third grade class photo to Facebook in 2009. Now, Ed, not a big social media guy, commented on the photo at the time, saying how much he loved Christy in third grade, not realizing that Christy would probably see it there. Christy commented back, saying how flattered she was to have an admirer, and one thing led to another. They eventually started dating, got married in December of 2013, and now have a one-year-old daughter.
How about that? That's a good story.
Yeah, that is very cool.
So, assuming neither was married this all went down.
It does not appear so.
Because Facebook can be disruptive in that way.
Yes.
At times.
Yes. This is Facebook doing good rather than bad, we think.
Wow. I would say from third grade, that was when I first started at Catholic school, went third through 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say on Facebook, I'm probably in touch with, I would say, at least half, maybe 60% of those classmates. It was kind of a small I probably had 40 people in my grade, I guess. But
it's amazing what Facebook has done. None of us were really in touch with anybody I don't think before Facebook came along. And now all of a sudden you're weirdly close to almost everybody you've ever known.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. Kind of dangerous.
Yeah. All at the same time.
14 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a retirement update. And it's brought to you by TIAA CREF. Have a retirement plan in place? U.S. News and World Report has come up with 5 ways to simplify the process. Number 1, focus on what you can control. Estimating a rate of return can be difficult. Let the market do its thing. Just decide how much of your salary you put in a retirement account each year. Number 2, don't chase the latest fad. Stick with a route long enough to reap some rewards. Number 3, don't delay saving. Number 4, determine when you will have enough to retire. Think about what you need to live comfortably, then make it a reality by actually resigning when you reach your goal. And finally, plan for non-financial goals. There's an unlimited amount of fun to be had in your golden years, but it takes some active planning to figure it out. 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Pope Francis flies to Washington tomorrow for his first trip to the U.S., but today Francis continues his stop in Cuba with a flight to the eastern part of the island. Yesterday, the Pope celebrated Mass in Havana and met with both Raul Castro and his brother Fidel. Thousands more migrants entered Austria over the weekend as European leaders tried to push for a unified response to the crisis. Foreign ministers from Hungary, Poland, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic are expected to reaffirm their opposition to Germany's call for a more even distribution of migrants as the crisis exposes deep divisions among European states. Big problems for Volkswagen this morning after the German automaker's admission that it rigged U.S. emissions tests for about 500,000 diesel cars. The company's CEO said in a statement that he is deeply sorry that Volkswagen has broken the trust of its customers and the public. The company has ordered an investigation and promised to cooperate with U.S. regulators. Researchers say they've identified a brain disease believed to be associated with repeated head injuries and concussions in a total of 87 out of the 91 former NFL players who had donated their brains to science after they died. Scientists with Boston University told PBS's Frontline that 96% of the NFL players they've examined tested positive for CTE. The degenerative disease is largely believed to stem from repeated head trauma. Comedian Tracy Morgan made a triumphant return to the Emmy Awards, telling TV's biggest stars that he missed them after spending months recovering from a traumatic brain injury. Morgan joked about being in a coma for more than a week after being injured in a car accident last June.
I finally regained consciousness. I was just ecstatic to learn that I wasn't the one who messed up.
The collision killed one of Morgan's close friends. A 10-year-old boy is being hailed as a hero for his actions after a school bus crashed into a pond near Tampa and overturned. Fifth grader Nicholas Sierra got a kindergartner safely out of the partly submerged bus last Thursday afternoon. The safety patroller then went back onto the bus and brought out two more students, a first grader and a second grader.
Check him out.
A hero.
Wow. He's a safety patroller.
Yeah.
Man.
He really had to do his job.
Right, with the belt right across his chest and around his waist and all that. Took it seriously.
Yes.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Good story. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You do whatever it takes to make sure your business runs efficiently, but constant trips to the post office can get in the way. With Stamps.com, you'll be able to spend less time at the post office and more time growing your business. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Use your own computer and printer to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Stamps.com does all the thinking for you. The digital scale will calculate the exact postage needed and help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Join over 500,000 small businesses that use Stamps.com and never go to the post office again. Right now, use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter deal. Thanks for being with us. There's an NFL player who's been in the news since the preseason because of his relationship to money. MarketWatch has the story of Ryan Broyles, who was a wide receiver for the NFL's Detroit Lions between 2012 and 2014. He lives by a strict budget. Broyles, who's 27, is currently a free agent, but made over $2 million from the Lions between 2012 and now, yet he keeps a budget of $5,000 a month in total spending. The budget is allocated like this: 50% on fixed expenses like mortgage and car payments, 30% on variable expenses like food and gas, 20% towards savings. He keeps track of his spending on a piece of paper and has also started using the budgeting website Mint.com this year. Some specifics: groceries, $500, gas, $300, phone bill, $190 each for his cell phone and his wife's, car payments, $800 total for two cars, a Mazda 3 for him, Cadillac SRX for his wife. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com.